You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada, indeed the world's top leaders, to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us, like Justin Trudeau, Muhammad Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Sir Richard Branson. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice, the kind of thoughtful leaders our McGill students are exposed to. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Andreas Friedman, CEO of Solphium, a Canadian solar energy company. Andreas, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Carl, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us about your early years. Where are you from and what did your family do?
So I was born and raised in Uruguay. My mom is from the tiniest town in the interior of Uruguay. My father was a Hungarian immigrant. He came just before World War II, and he had quite the immigrant story himself. I was born and raised there, worked with my parents a lot growing up. I think they probably had the biggest influence earlier on in my career. They ran an HR firm, the first HR firm in Uruguay. My father started that in 1950, before the term HR really existed. I've worked a lot growing up with him. At 18, I started having the itch to see the world. Uruguay is a beautiful place, but quite small. And I wanted to see the world, and the opportunity came to come and study at McGill and came here and never looked back.
You're sitting in Uruguay.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world does it occur you to go to McGill, a top university in the far north?
How did it occur to me? It actually was a bit random. It wasn't in my immediate radar early on. I was actually thinking of going to the UK, and I applied to the London School of Economics and wasn't able to get the scholarships I needed to go there. And then through a friend, I found out about McGill, and the more I learned, the more I liked the idea, and I applied, and it worked, and here I ended up.
What did you study at McGill?
So I did a BCom with a major in economics. So I loved the program. It allowed me to combine sort of the two things I wanted to study, which was economics, but business as well. And it was a great program, lots of flexibility. I did a lot of things at McGill while studying as well. So it was a phenomenal experience. I mean, I loved every minute of it, and it was sort of a dream come true to be here.
What was your first job out of university?
So I after graduating, I worked for GE. I was one of those management training programs in finance. I had the opportunity to go into consulting, but I was influenced positively by one professor that told me to get a real job, not go and consult when I know nothing at that stage to consult about. And so I started at GE. It was a great program and a great experience, but I've realized fairly early on that finance wasn't sort of my cup of tea. I didn't really want to go into that route. So it was a good experience, but then I was looking to do something else.
You ended up at Bombardier.
Yeah, it was a cool story, actually, because while I was at McGill, I applied for a summer internship at the Boston Consulting Group. Speaking of consulting, this was before my professor influenced me to go in a different direction. And I got to the final rounds, and the director that was in charge of recruiting at that point, we clicked. He brilliant guy, and it didn't end up working. It wasn't Michael Meckett. It was Richard Florizon. I ended up working for Michael after, who was also a great mentor and very influential early on in my career, and this person I never ended up doing that summer internship because you actually needed a work permit back then. Today it's a lot more flexible for international students, but back in the day you needed a work permit. And so that didn't happen. But 3 years later, this person, Richard Florizon, had become director of strategy working with Michael McAdoo at Bombardier. And so we crossed paths again, and he told me, hey, I've just started at Bombardier. We're launching this new plane called the C-Series, and I need a strategy analyst. Do you want to join? I was like, of course. And so that was my transition from GE to Bombardier, and it was phenomenal. I mean, obviously, I knew nothing about aerospace, but I jumped on the opportunity, and it's been it was an amazing career. It was 16 years at Bombardier. Did lots of things, and it was just a phenomenal experience.
We'll get to what you're doing with Solphium in a moment, but what does the word mean anyway?
Solphium. So Solphium is a bit of a play of words with two concepts. Sol means sun in Spanish, or short for soleil in French. And fume comes from, it's sort of a onomatopoeia. It's the sound of speed in Spanish. So when people in Spanish think of speed, they say fume, like you're driving faster. And so our whole concept is about speed and helping bring the sun closer to people. So that's
solfium.
Solfium, that's right.
So it's really it's a Spanish word, in my defense.
Yeah, it's more of a, we made it sound a bit tried to make it sound a bit international with fume, more of like a, I guess a Latin ending, because we didn't, our plans are not just to be in Latin America where we started, but to be in many places in the world. So we tried to play a bit with a word, and solfium was born as a concept.
You're listening to the CO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Today, we're speaking with Andreas Friedman, CEO of Solfium, a Canadian solar energy company. So 16 years at Bombardier, excellent career. What made you transition to more of a startup in the world?
It's sort of coming full circle for me. I mean, I had a great experience at Bombardier, did a bit of everything. So I started in strategy, as I was saying, for the launch of a new plane. Then I had the opportunity to join the supply chain team and do supplier development in emerging markets. So I did a lot of work with China and with Mexico. As Bombardier launched its Mexico facility and the operations there grew, it required someone to run a local first supply chain and logistics. And so I moved down to Mexico and I spent 5 years there. I run one of the manufacturing plants after there. And then I did program management. So I was able to do quite a bit. And two things happened. Once I've had the opportunity to start projects, which is not always that common in a big company, but I was able to start our first international procurement organizations, which again we did in China and then in Mexico, which I led. So it sort of migrated Bombardier's model from a very centralized procurement team in Montreal to having decentralized procurement hubs in key emerging markets. The manufacturing plant that I ran was for the Learjet 85, and we were building the wings down there, and we were starting. I was there from the first prototype, so it felt like a mini startup within Bombardier. We were building the first prototype of the wing ever built in Mexico, and so I really enjoyed starting new projects. And early on in my childhood, I had a few opportunities to be an entrepreneur myself, with my brother doing little summer businesses to make some cash. So I've sort of knew that what I enjoyed the most was starting something new. And after 16 years at Bombardier, I was looking for what was next for me. I never thought I'd spend 16 years because I'm not an aerospace engineer. It just happened, and good opportunities kept coming up. And I met with a partner, someone I had worked with in his previous life in aerospace as well. And he had this idea about solfium. He had been working in the solar industry for the last 10 years. And he had this idea of creating something disruptive, something that would facilitate the adoption of solar energy. And we got together and I loved it and decided to go all in and started working on that business plan in 2020.
You're listening to the CO Series. And today we're speaking with Andreas Friedman, CEO of Solfium, a Canadian solar energy company. What is the heart or the mind of an entrepreneur versus the heart and mind of a corporate type like myself? How would you compare and contrast? Sounds like an exam question, but compare and contrast those two.
Yeah, it's I love the experience of having been in a big company, in a world-class company like Bombardier and GE early on in my career, because even though now I'm in a startup, I sort of know where I would like to take Solfium. I know how a big company works, what the kinds of processes and governance you need to have once you get to a certain stage. So for me, I mean, obviously a lot of respect for all first-time founders that sort of get their startup off the ground at a very early stage in their career. But for me, it was very, very helpful to go through those phases. And to your point, you know, I had great bosses and great mentors that gave me a lot of flexibility. I think the hardest part of starting something brand new or creating something disruptive in a big company is that you need to do a lot of stakeholder management. You need to, you're changing departments, you're changing processes, you're impacting other big areas that are used to working the same way for a long time. So that requires a lot of work. But on the other hand, you have a lot of resources. You're a big company. If you can, you know, demonstrate that the business case is there and you prove it, then you get the resources. In a startup, the hard part at the beginning is you don't have much resources. You have a lot of flexibility to do what you want.
But so you are, when you say Bombardier, people knew who you're with.
That's it.
Canada's biggest global company at the time. So it opens doors.
100%.
So it's interesting. I'm doing some research with McKinsey looking at as a startup grows at a certain time after success, you bring in corporate types to be your CMO or COO or someone who's knows how to run the system. In one sense, you already have that from Bombardier. So when it gets to 500 people, it won't be strange to you, or 1,000 or 2,000. It's more that it's when you have you and a dog. Well, I guess your partner, you and a dog. That's when the challenge is. But even financially, you had a salary, you have a family to help support. That's kind of the scary part for most corporate types.
That's it. So you have to, obviously, when you make this kind of jump, you have to have some buffer to do that. And fortunately, I did. And I was very, very passionate about the opportunity. And it was, and I always said, you know, I can go back to a corporate job anytime. But this was something that really excited me. And so I it was the right time for me in my career. I had done what I needed to do at Bombardier and in big company. So I was ready for this kind of challenge. And as you said, you have sort of a roadmap of where you want to take it as you grow. It's a very different from what you expect at the beginning when you're, as you said, alone.
One last Bombardier question. You were involved in the C-Series, and in Canada we're very proud of the C-Series, but we're sad that it's owned by Airbus. So, and it's built here in Montreal, created in Montreal, and going around the world, and I've flown on it. It's a great plane, and the world loves the plane. What's your feeling about the fact that it's owned by Airbus now? Is it just c'est la vie, or what's your sense of that?
You know, we all felt that there was such an important program for Bombardier back in the day that we would have preferred that it stayed with Bombardier. But, you know, we're happy for the success, and it was the right decision for the company.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Andres Friedman, CEO of Solphia, a Canadian solar energy company. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about Solphium's mission and what exactly they do.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, you're listening to the CEO Series, and today I'm speaking with Andres Friedman, CEO of Solphium, a Canadian solar energy company. Andreas, clearly you're a leader today. When did you first occur to you might be a leader? Was it in high school in Uruguay, or was it in McGill, or later on in life?
I think I've discovered sort of the fact that I enjoyed the type of leadership roles earlier than that. While I was still in Uruguay, I was involved in some youth movements and summer camps. So there on, I realized I enjoyed sort of organizing and being with sometimes with younger kids and mentoring them. But I don't think I had sort of the natural innate necessarily leadership abilities then. I think that's something that I worked hard to develop. And McGill was extremely formative for me. I was very, I knew I wanted to develop certain skill set, being more comfortable, for example, leading larger groups, speaking in public, etc. And so I sort of did everything that I felt uncomfortable doing. I joined the debating union, which I was really not good at, but it helped me first improve my English and second, you know, lose a bit of that fear to debate in public and speak. Then I became a teaching assistant, and I had the opportunity to work with Ruben Brenner and cover his whole class of 200 and something kids in economics. So I slowly started developing that ability to be more comfortable being out there and being in public and leading sort of large groups.
What is Solphium? You've told us what the name means. What do you do?
So we are a company, we're a tech company, so we're really leveraging technology to facilitate and therefore accelerate the adoption of solar energy. That's our raison d'être. That's why we created the company. We think it's absolutely critical in our energy transition to help people adopt solar energy. It seems to be still something fairly remote for the majority of people, and we want to make that more accessible. Now, we are focused on what's called distributed generation, so small-scale projects for self-consumption, so whether that's residential, commercial, or small industrial, as opposed to utility-scale projects, which are the large, you know, solar parks and wind farms that you see that are really for centralized generation, and they're part of the grid, if you will, directly or indirectly. The reason why we're focusing on distributed generation is because there seems to be consensus today that, the latest study from the International Energy Agency and The Economist pointed out that if we were to rely only on large utility scale projects to manage our energy transition, we would not make it. We would not meet our net zero targets by 2050. We would not reduce the amount of CO2 tons that we need. Why? Because the amount of capacity that we would need to add, the study from The Economist showed that it was the equivalent of the largest solar park that exists in the world today. We would need to add that daily. So every single day, we would need to turn on, power on, not start, but actually turn on the equivalent of the largest solar park in the world. And that's just not happening. It's not feasible. Usually these kinds of projects have a longer regulatory approvals, etc. So while obviously we encourage and we support any development in that space, we really think that distributed generation needs to be a bigger part of the mix. So now that's clear, then you start looking and you say, well, why is it taking longer than it should, or how do we make that process faster? And that's where we saw the opportunity of with Solfium to disrupt a bit this business model, which, as much as the technology is relatively new, the business models that we saw in many parts of the world, in Latin America where we focused in particular, they're very traditional business models. These are, a solar installer is like an electrician, right? It's a micro company. It's a very local business. They tend to not be scalable. The way they work in this traditional business model, which is a long process to get a quote from a customer has no idea sometimes where even to start. So the whole process is a bit cumbersome for the average customer that obviously is not technically savvy on photovoltaic. So the whole concept of Solfium is how do we reinvent that customer experience, make it easy, and therefore make it a lot more accessible.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Today we're speaking with Andreas Friedman, CEO of Solfium, a Canadian solar energy company. And is this literally for residential, or is it small companies as well?
So Solfium 1.0, as they call it, was for residential and small commercial. I'll tell you more in a second about Solfium 2.0, but Solfium, when we started, was really, we created an app that made the whole process of adopting and then managing your solar energy system very simple and very intuitive, again, for the average customer that knows nothing about solar. So, the concept actually conceptually works similar to Uber, or we were doing what Uber did to taxi. The taxi industry used to be very analog, right? You would call a taxi, you have no idea what time he or she arrives, if he's any good or bad. There was no ratings, you don't know how much a trip is going to cost, if it's stuck in traffic, etc. Solar today, as we were discussing earlier, in most places works that way. And what we're doing with the app is basically making that process very simple. In 8 steps, you have your solar panels installed in your home. You get an instant quote just by inputting your electricity consumption. So you don't even need to know how many kilowatt hours you consume a month. The algorithm will also assign you the closest installer to you based on your location. And you chat in the app with the installer and with our team, just like you would chat with your Uber driver. And basically we schedule the technical assessment with a combination of software and an on-site visit and with a drone to show the customer different options. And then we offer financing options through the app.
For residential in Mexico, how long a payback period? So I buy it from you, I pay X thousands. When am I getting that money back?
The unit economics is amazing. In Mexico and in most of Latin America, in most of the world where there's a lot more sun than here, Carl. So the average payback period for a customer can range from 3 to 4 years or 5, depending on their consumption pattern. And then, you know, the systems are sized so that they don't pay any electricity. So once your system is paid off, you have 20 years of free electricity. There's other financing options where we offer where the system sort of pays for itself with your savings. You don't invest at all. And then it takes a bit longer and it gives obviously recurring revenue. But no matter how you look at it, whether you pay for it up front or you're financing it, the unit economics are amazing.
This is existing technology. It's not rocket science or anything like that. I taught at the University of Hawaii a couple of summers, and the house we rented had it. And it was interesting because Hawaiian Power had a bit of a problem that they had to buy the power, but they also, on a cloudy day, they had to produce power. So, but it really helps that in the part of in Mexico, there's a lot of sun, and it's closer to the equator, so the days are even length around the world. Where if you go to Iceland, where I teach a bit, in the winter, like, there's very little sun. So we can't use this much in Canada then?
We can, and in some, as you know, each province here has a different regulatory framework. So Ontario had a big incentive back in the day, a feed-in tariff, so that you would, in the long summer days, you would feed that excess energy that you produced into the grid and get paid handsomely for it. So that helps your business case. Alberta is having a fairly big boom in solar. Quebec, obviously, is privileged to have 100% renewable energy with hydro and a lot more accessible or relatively inexpensive. So it's less attractive in Quebec unless you want to be off grid and you have a cottage and it's really, you're not necessarily interconnected to the grid. You're really just doing it to avoid having to do an electrical installation.
So most of the homes in Mexico would be on the grid as well as being, but they would not use much electricity from the grid.
That's it. Well, the way it works is in Mexico and most of Latin America, it's the regulatory framework is exactly the same as in Quebec, actually, just that, again, in Quebec, it's not, the economics are not as attractive. It's called net metering. So you remain interconnected into the grid during the day that you're generating above your consumption because the panels are working at peak capacity. You inject that excess into the grid, and at night, when the panels are not working, you take from the grid. And the grid operator or the utility company does a net. That's why they call it net metering. You have a meter that is bidirectional. It moves in one direction when you inject, and it runs the other way when you take from the grid. And so at the end of the month, if the system is sized right, you can basically pay zero on your electricity bill, and the grid is acting like your battery. So you don't need to invest a lot in expensive batteries. Your grid is the battery. You inject into the grid, you take from the grid at night.
But that means that there's oil or gas or coal or hydro or something producing it from big plants. So we're not moving away from those entirely, but we're substantially reducing the demand. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Andreas Friedman, CEO of Solfium, a Canadian solar energy company. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about Solfium's strategy and competition in this space.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, you're listening to the CEO Series, and today I'm speaking with Andreas Friedman, CEO of Solfium, a Canadian solar energy company. So what percentage of Mexican power consumption is residential?
It varies. I don't have the exact number on the top of my head, but overall solar is still just, it's just taking off. The level of penetration is low. Across the board, industrial, commercial, and residential, the level of penetration of solar is just above 2%. So it's there's a whole market to develop. And what we are finding more and more is that companies are starting to look at solar as a low-hanging fruit, if you will, as a key lever to decarbonize their value chains. Why? Because energy represents 75% of our emissions. And in Mexico, I mean, there's no other initiative that you could implement in 5 months for a big company that can have such a massive impact on your CO2 emissions. anything else that you need to do as part of your net zero roadmap or your sustainability plan usually requires a bigger investment and a longer payback period, if at all. Sometimes it's just an investment on changing materials, changing suppliers, changing your manufacturing processes to make them more energy efficient. This is actually very, very profitable, has a very high ROI, and you can implement it in months, not years. So we see a huge boom in companies, and that's why Solthium 2.0 was created, if you will, or that's how we pivoted.
So what is 2.0?
Yeah, so Solthium 2.0 added to Solthium 1.0 the ability to do and deliver industrial projects. So now we're able to go to a big company and undertake industrial scale projects still within the framework of distributed generation. So there's a cap, it's 500 kilowatts. But what that allows us to do is now a full sort of turnkey offering for a company. We do their industrial project, but as part of their sustainability strategy, we partner with them and we help them deploy solar with their suppliers. We help them deploy solar or help their employees adopt solar at home. Microsoft was announcing a couple of months ago their net zero plan, and they were saying we want to be net zero by 2025. But the challenge that we have is 75% of our emissions come from our value chain, our supply chain. They don't come from Microsoft. And so they struggle. A lot of companies are making those commitments to net zero, but they don't really have yet the full roadmap on how they're going to do it. The good news is in Mexico, with solar, you can tackle a big portion of those emissions with solar. So what we're offering the companies is a digital dashboard to sort of manage and to integrate and manage the environmental impact of all the projects in their value chain. So anything that's tagged to that company, whether it's an employee, a supplier, a customer, a distributor, anywhere in the value chain, upstream and downstream, it all gets captured in that digital dashboard. So literally the company can have it in their lobby and it will show in real time how many tons of CO2 they're reducing. It can also show metrics sort of going forward, their projections towards their net zero plans and targets, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a really a turnkey solution for companies to decarbonize their value chain.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Today, we're speaking with Andreas Friedman, CEO of Solthium, a Canadian solar energy company. So we have ESG as a big concern out there in even in stock markets, things like that are starting to look at it, investors more. My students are absolutely excited by it, wanting to be part of that. It just strikes me as the work you did at Bombardier with value chain is just brilliant because you can understand how they're thinking about it and speak their language very fluently.
Yeah, 100%. It's actually more helpful than what I would have thought. We've signed up big customers now, some that we can announce that will be announced publicly very, very soon. But I'm now on the other side. I'm now the supplier. I've worked in procurement and supply chain for many years, so I understand how big companies their process to approve new suppliers, which is why I'm very proud. It's not easy to get into big companies, and the fact that we're now working with some Volkswagen suppliers as part of that supply chain. Decarbonization of Volkswagen. We're working with some Japanese companies in Mexico. We have a soft drinks giant that will be announced publicly soon. So those experiences, Carl, have been very helpful to work with big corporates, and it shows that our business model is scalable and replicable, which is really our focus. Mexico was our launch market, but it's our springboard. We're going to go to Brazil and Colombia and many other places after. So it's very exciting times.
So how have you funded this? Do you have investors? How do you move this forward?
Yeah. So as a startup, I mean, we started with angel investors. We had some people close to us that got equally excited about our business and decided to take the risk to fund us at an early stage. And so we've raised enough money to get the company started, to develop our initial beta versions of our apps and platforms, as we call it, for the proof of concept that we did last year. And we've continued to raise money from angels until very recently. And now we're getting ready for our seed round with bigger institutional investors, venture capital, family offices. We're getting ready for the next stage.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Today, we're speaking with Andreas Friedman, CEO of Solthium, a Canadian solar energy company. So I said, this sounds like a bit like a James Bond villain, but I suspect you're going for global domination.
Yes.
So, but there must be people in the Silicon Valley doing this. Like, I just, on general principle, I have faith that someone in the Valley is doing that. You've obviously looked. Are there other companies around the world at this?
Surprisingly, we haven't found any company that does exactly what we do, that has the full process integrated in the app. There's big, very innovative companies in the US, obviously, which is, to be honest, one reason why we're not going to the US. There's big players in the distributed space. But in most countries, I mean, Latin America has the lowest penetration of solar in the world. It has just about 3%. And in a region of the world where solar is the cheaper source of electricity. So it's a matter of when and not if solar panels are going to become ubiquitous. They're going to be in every home, just like, you know, a fridge or a TV. And it took a few decades for a TV to go from being something extremely exotic in the 50s that you'd have one per town maybe, to something that you see in every home. Our focus and our challenge is we don't have 4 or 5 decades. If we think of the planet and our environmental challenges, we don't have 5 decades for that sort of normal technology adoption to happen at that pace. That's why we're focused on accelerating that adoption and making it easy. But so back to your question. I mean, we in the US, the big players are obviously leveraging technology. There's a lot of software out there that helps installers sort of quote. There's some companies that offer sort of a bit what we're offering on the app, but on a website, so you can get a pre-quote in a website and then contact a technician. But surprisingly, we haven't found anyone doing exactly what we're doing. It's a matter of time. Maybe that someone is out there doing it and we haven't seen it, or someone will very soon. But the good news for us is we have a whole world to decarbonize. This is a huge market. It's not...
At one level, everybody's a winner the more that does
that's it.
Like,
that's it.
You're not going to go, oh no, we lost. Oh, the world's better.
It's not a winner-takes-all market. We're not stealing market share from others. This is a massively growing business, and there's a lot of room for different companies with different business models, right?
So what is it that you bring to the table? It's not new technology. It's more of thinking about how to be the Uber of this industry. Is that the central idea in a way?
It's a solution. It's a solution to help to make it easier for companies to adopt solar. If you think for residential and commercial customer, it's just like someone told me, you download the app. It's like, oh, I heard about this. I download the app. And in 3 seconds, you have a quote. Versus someone needs to be motivated enough to go into Google, find, you know, good solar installer near me kind of thing, and then start talking to 5 people, get 5 different opinions. Takes a few weeks till they come, and then you get a quote by email, etc. You just made it very simple and very accessible. You might have heard that the SEC had a proposal in the US a couple of months ago about all U.S. listed companies. They will need to start reporting as of fiscal 23 or 24, depending on the size of the company, what their plans are for reducing emissions across their value chain. It's scope 1, scope 2, and scope 3 emissions. So the world is moving all in that direction. What we do is making it easy for companies to just deploy this.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Andreas Freeman, CEO of Solphium, a Canadian solar energy company. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CO Series. Next up, we'll talk about whether Andreas is an introvert or extrovert and how he spends his free time.
They made it, and they're telling you how. You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, you're listening to the CO Series, and today I'm speaking with Andreas Freeman, CEO of Solphium, a Canadian solar energy company. A few minutes ago, but you said ubiquitous, which is obviously you speak English very well. I assume your Spanish and your French your Spanish would be the same level. Are you a different person in those three languages?
That's an interesting question, Carl. I actually define myself as speaking poorly now all three languages, French, English, Spanish, and my attempt at learning others like Portuguese and German has created a bit of a mix in my brain. But that's an interesting question. I don't know if it's a language thing, but definitely it's contextual.
It's culturally as well. Like it just strikes me as Mexico is more an emotional society.
Yes.
And that sort of thing.
Yes.
So in a sense, when you go to speak Spanish, you become more Uruguayan, I guess.
Yes.
In your approach.
Yes.
So
I definitely adapt my style. I think that's something that I've learned how to do, to adapt my communication style. Funny anecdote. I actually think that it's a bit of a mixed bag or a double-edged sword, because I was comparing my experience with a lot of with some expats from Bombardier that were down there, and for an expat that doesn't speak the language, you have a constant reminder that you are in a foreign country, and that you need to your senses need to be sort of heightened, you need to be aware, you need to manage, and your expectation is things will not work the way you're used to. You're in a foreign land. You have that constant reminder. When you don't have that barrier, because Spanish is your mother tongue, but I had been in Canada for 11 years, you go back and you have this sort of false sense of, I'm in Mexico, I speak the language. Of course, there can't be no barriers. But the reality is there's differences in how we communicate, even between Uruguay and Mexico. And so, I've learned and I've gotten feedback after that maybe the way I communicate is a bit too direct or too aggressive, which is the way we're used to in Uruguay and maybe a bit more in Canada.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Today, we're speaking with Andreas Friedman, CEO of Solfium, a Canadian solar energy company. You had a big announcement in Querétaro, which is a territory, a province of Mexico with a lot of people there. Tell us about that. And has the government of Canada, Quebec, been helpful to you?
Yeah. So we announced a strategic alliance, is the formal term of what we signed, with the state government of Querétaro. Querétaro is a territory I'm quite familiar with because it's where Bombardier was, and it's no coincidence that that's where we set up our Mexico operations, our Mexico headquarters. And the government liked very much our business model. They came to the same realization as many others that as part of their energy transition, they needed to promote these distributed generation projects. So really put panels everywhere. And they liked our business model because it was digital. Governments obviously think a lot in what they can accomplish in their terms. And there is a new governor, which came with really a strong mandate to develop renewables in the state. And they saw our model as something that can be very easy to deploy. And so what we've signed is a strategic alliance to deploy 125 megawatts, which is roughly, if you think it in revenue terms, about $125 million of distributed solar energy projects, whether it's residential, commercial, and industrial. So it's a huge win for us, obviously, at this stage of our startup, to have not only the major backing of a state government, but also have them as an ally. In our announcement with the governor on June 20th, we had all the big companies in the state, the big chambers of commerce, the big industrial parks, and they all heard the same message. You guys need to put solar panels. So, and there we were beside the governor as their partner. So it was a huge success for us. We've been working closely. We've had a lot of support from the federal government and the Quebec government via their Mexico City offices, the embassy and the Delegation Générale, the Delegate General Office of Quebec in Mexico City. They attended our event as well, which sent a strong signal that we're behind this partnership, and we're delighted that a Canadian startup was chosen as the main partner of a state government for their energy transition plan. So it's been great. They've been very helpful, and this was a huge win for us, for sure.
So Andreas, are you more of an introvert or extrovert?
I was expecting this question, Carl, knowing obviously that this is one big area of your research, and you've published a lot about this. The short answer is I'm an ambivert. The slightly longer answer is I'm a slightly shy, slightly extrovert person. So I do enjoy being with people. I do recharge. There's some work I can do on my own, but I did struggle a lot, for example, during COVID, working fully remote. So I do enjoy being part of it. I think my style naturally comes. Maybe that's why I wasn't as good at finance at GE. I really enjoy sort of the working with people through problems, the thinking out loud together, brainstorming, around a board on how we're going to tackle a problem. And yeah, as I was saying earlier, I was a bit shy growing up, and I've sort of gotten away from that. But that's how I would define my...
That's for now. You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Today, we're speaking with Andreas Friedman, CEO of Solfium, a Canadian solar energy company. You have a small child and another on the way. So what was it like working from home with a baby and your wife as well? And she works at Bombardier. Tell us about working from home in that context.
Yeah, it was very convenient in terms of let's call it work-life balance or being closer physically to my family. It was like I could literally drop off my my daughter at daycare and then be back at home for my first meeting early morning. So it was convenient in that sense. And there was a lot of pluses of being able to have some flexibility and working from home sometimes. It was harder, obviously, in terms of getting the business started at the beginning. I mean, as Solfium, we were born. We had our Solfium baby during COVID, so that's how we started. It makes a huge difference now to be able to spend time with my co-founders in person and to be in Mexico with our team on the ground, our sales, our operations team, etc. So I think things have evolved, and I'm happy we're sort of over that phase, and we now have flexibility, but also an ability to be in person when needed.
When you look at it, our great trade partner in Canada is the U.S., but the other one would be Mexico. How's Mexico doing these days? Someone who's down there a lot, and how's it evolving over the next 5 years? Any thoughts on that?
Mexico, I mean, was hit quite badly with COVID. Obviously, it has a huge informal sector in its economy with a lot of micro-owned businesses and in shops, informal shops. So they really struggled during COVID. Today, things are starting to sort of look up again, and Mexico has a huge advantages. If we think of it geostrategically, where we are today, a lot of the trade tension with China has benefited and has the potential to benefit Mexico a lot more. There's a lot more, as you know, nearshoring from U.S. companies, and a lot of supply chains are localizing more within North America, and that is a huge opportunity for Mexico and for the former NAFTA, the whole of the North American economy to integrate further and be competitive, and while still sort of protecting from some of the bigger supply chain risks and geopolitical risks. So I think there are strong fundamentals for Mexico's economy to continue to start growing strongly. Very young population, so the labor force, there's a lot of engineers graduating every year, and again a close integration with the U.S. and Canada will benefit all of us.
How do you stay in shape? What do you do these days?
I exercise every day. I have the mixed blessing, which is never not really a blessing, of having some back problems from an accident from a long time ago. So I have no choice but to exercise every day. I exercise. I do a bit of cardio. I stretch, and I do that early, first thing in the morning. That's what gets me started. As I listen to good podcasts like the CEO Series and others. So yeah, it's part of my routine, whether I'm in Montreal or in a hotel in Mexico or wherever I am.
This is the CEO Series. Andreas, thank you for joining us today. We'd also like to thank our technical producer, as always, Marco Campagna, and our new show producer, Gabby Hartshorn-Mell. Thank you for tuning into the CEO Series. À la prochaine.